And when he ascended and went back to the Father, the angels appeared to the disciples and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into the heavens?" Of course they were. They just saw their Lord go taken up in the clouds. "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you see him go." He will come. But in verse 2, Paul warns the church against becoming unsettled, alarmed, and excited by those people who declare that his return is imminent. I'm talking about when he wrote this epistle, back there almost, well, over 1900 years ago when this epistle was written. Now listen to verse 2. "That you be not soon shaken in mind, unsettled, be troubled, alarmed, excited, neither by spirit." You know, John told us to try the spirits who preach. These are men who preached. These men had come in and declared to the church at Thessalonica that the coming of the Lord was at hand, imminent, any time now. And the people were troubled and shaken in mind. And Paul said, neither by spirit, somebody coming saying he's speaking under the Spirit of God, nor by word, the preaching, nor by letter, as from us. The commentators tell us that some people had even forged epistles under the name of Paul and sent them to the church. That's what he's talking about. As, nor by letter, as from us. He didn't say a letter from me. He said, as from me. These people had forged letters from Paul indicating that Christ coming was at hand. Now, this was written 1900 years ago. It may be that the coming of the Lord is at hand, imminent now. But at that time, Paul was sure that it wasn't. And he's warning them not to declare something to be at hand, especially something, one writer said, when an event such as the return of Christ, when an event such as the end of the world as we know it, an event such as the beginning of eternal glory, is said to be at hand, said to be imminent, said to be almost tomorrow, and it does not occur, disappointment gives way to despair, and then despair gives way doubt. In other words, I get up here and announce that the Lord is coming in the next few days. It's imminent. And it doesn't take place. Such an awesome, awesome event. Well, that disappoints everybody that heard the message. And then it leads them to despair. And then it leads them to question all the promises. And everybody talks about it. So, this is what Paul is saying. And usually the motive is wrong. This is what I discovered out in California 5 years ago when that announcement was made and the book written, 1994. I went out there right in the middle of it. And the motive is wrong. Here's the two things they're trying to do. They're trying to motivate believers to be better witnesses and better Christians and better servants, by telling them the Lord may come in a month or 2 months or a year. But that's not the way believers are motivated. They're not motivated by the return of Christ. They're motivated by the death of Christ. He gave himself for us. That's what motivates us, his love for us. Whether he comes today or 1,000 years from now, we're motivated to live for him and to love him and to glorify him because of our relationship with him. Fear, you don't don't motivate believers with fear. And another thing they tried to do, they went all over the world in other countries giving out tracts. The Lord's coming in 1994, trying to scare people into a profession of faith. Trying to get them to make decisions for Christ. Well, unbelievers are not brought to repentance and faith by fear of the Lord's coming. They're brought to repentance and faith by fear of sin. I've sinned against God. Judgment. No matter when it comes, it's upon those who do not know Christ. And so the motive is all bad. Paul said, don't be shaken, troubled. Whether somebody claims to be have a revelation or by preaching or by forged letters from us, that day is at hand. Remember this, that this epistle here, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, were the earliest epistles. The apostles were all still living. God was calling out the church. The Lord was forming the church. The Lord was writing the Word. The Word wasn't even written. Christ's not coming before the Word's written, before the New Testament. This is what Paul is saying here. This epistle was among the earliest days of the church. The apostles were still preaching, teaching, and writing the Word. So he says in verse 3, don't let any man deceive you by any means. Now here's two things that are going to happen. It's going to take place. Paul's writing then now. Now these things, I'm going to try to show you where they've pretty well taken place to this day. But back here, Paul says, now, for that day, the coming of the Lord shall not come, except there come a falling away first. What is a falling away? Well, it's a general condition of apostasy. You got to have something before you can fall away from it. There's got to be a general apostasy, a falling away. Falling away from what? From the true character of God. The preaching of it, the belief of it, the trust in the true character of God. The living God, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. It's a general condition of apostasy, falling away from the authority of the Scriptures. Just leaving the authority of the Scriptures and trusting the authority of a church or a denomination or a church leaders or preachers are just departing from the Word. A general apostasy now. Thirdly, it's an apostasy or a falling away from the gospel. Just when the famine of the Word of God, when you just can't even hear any true gospel preached, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the glory of God. The gospel of the blood of Christ, the gospel of covenant mercies, the mercies of a covenant God, when it's not preached and not believed and not heard and not practiced and not even written, a departure, falling away. Now that's a falling away. It's a falling away from the person and work of Jesus Christ. His perfect life imputing to us a perfect holiness, his sacrificial death, His sin offering, his atonement, his ascension, his burial and resurrection, his ascension to glory, his entering into the holiest, his seating at the right hand of God, interceding for us. It's a falling away and a departure from salvation by grace alone. It's falling into salvation by works, by man's own righteousness and doing. Now he said that day is not coming till this falling away occurs, to this apostasy, to this departure from the truth. All right. Now, when this was written, it was 1900 years ago. Now, we had great Ignatius, Polycarp, Augustine, great preachers. There was a voice even in the Middle Ages, in the Dark Ages, from Paul right on up to 500 years ago. And 500 years ago, there was a revival. There was a reformation. There was a great return to the Scriptures.
a return to the preaching of the character of God. God raised up men, Calvin, Luther, Zwingli, Huss, these great voices, powerful for whole nations. Germany turned, followed the ministry of Luther. France followed the ministry of Calvin. And England, the Church of England was established under a righteous king, but it was established anyway. There was the catechisms were written. The word was translated. The publishing of the word of God by these great men who printed the word, who translated it into other languages, who put it in the people's language. This King James translation, 1620. In every country, the voice of truth was raised. I mean truth. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the Heidelberg Catechism, the Dutch Catechism. If I were to stand here and read it tonight, you would say amen to every word of it except church government and baptism. If I were to read to you tonight the Westminster Confession written back in those days, you'd say amen to every word of it except baptism, church government. The 39 Articles of the Church of England under which Whitfield preached and Watts preached and John Knox preached and all these men, they believed God's sovereignty and elective grace in particular. This just swept the world. The truth. God raised up powerful men. Then came along Spurgeon, John Gill, John Bunyan. I just keep naming them. Powerful voices. Not an apostasy. There was no apostasy, general falling away. There was a reformation. We've been profiting by it ever since. Ever since. Coming this way. And then America was discovered. And this America was raised up. And God raised up some great preachers here. Edwards. Whitfield came over here and preached. Other men that God raised up preached the gospel. But this apostasy, and I'll tell you what, this Reformation had 3 points. The scriptures alone. Nothing but the scriptures. We believe the word of God. Nothing but scriptures. Christ alone, not of works. Christ alone. Christ himself, our salvation, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. That was the foundation of this Reformation. Grace alone, salvation by grace, not of works. That was the foundation. And we profited by it. Our freedom was born of that Reformation, this American freedom. People came here find a place for freedom. Well, since about 100 years ago, I started down here badly. Over there, to find a church in France, Bill, I depend on the testimony of my friend Bill Clark, who says they're just not there. There's not a voice in France, not one. Not a voice in England. Consistent. The preachers, there's always been preachers. I'm talking about a Whitfield. I'm talking about a Gill. I'm talking about a Bunyan. I'm talking about a voice. There's people here saying something. God's using. This country, where's the voice? Where's the voice? Billy Graham? Those men are saying that. I tell you this. It may be one of two things is going to happen. God may raise up another Reformation, then we're in for another 500 years. But this may be the falling away. Because my friends, there's a falling away from these things I'm talking about. It's hard. We've got religion all over the airwaves, the radio, the TV. But nobody is sounding this note. These catechisms, Heidelberg, Westminster, London Confession, Philadelphia, 39 Articles of the Church of England, The preachers never even read them. They don't even know what they teach. They know nothing about them. They have no foundation. They're just, it's just a numbers thing, a social thing. One man came over here in England. He said, your churches are the answer to our pubs. We go to the pub for socials and food and entertainment. Y'all go to church for that. So he may be right. So we may be in that falling away. Total apostasy. Sodom. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I just saw in the paper yesterday, or day before yesterday, in the high schools in this country, there's 600 gay clubs in high school. It's a sweeping, that's apostasy. That's a departure from the truth and a falling into terrible lasciviousness. So that day may be the falling away is happening. But here's the second thing, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Let's read the description of this man of sin. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that's called God, or that is worship. He puts himself above the word of God, above the old landmarks, the old paths, the old traditions, the old truths. He puts himself above that. So that he, as God, sitteth in the temple. He's moved into the church. The Antichrist is not down the road in the honky-tonk, he's in the church. He moves into the church. He exalts his word above God's word, his will above God's will, his way above God's way, his thoughts above God's thoughts, and moves into the church. And shows himself that he's God. Now then, this is not one person. This is what my teachers back in the few years back went wrong. They got the world looking for one man. This is not one man. This is not an individual person. This is a succession of religious leaders. This is a spirit of Antichrist. This is a spirit of Antichrist. They're God's many and Antichrist's many. This is a spirit of Antichrist. But he's masterminded by one man, one person. Not a man, but a person. Satan. This spirit of Antichrist, wherever it is, in local churches and local synagogues and local places, wherever that Antichrist, that spirit of Antichrist is, he's masterminded and controlled by one person. That's Satan. Let me show you that in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This man of sin, this Antichrist, in 2 Corinthians 11, let's look at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So what I'm saying is, in this day, the apostasy, the falling away has occurred. It's down. It's falling away. The truth is compromised in the churches, in the pulpits, in the seminaries, in the colleges, and in religious schools. The spirit of Antichrist has possessed religion as a whole. The will of man is exalted over the will of God. Salvation is reduced to a work of the flesh, to a decision of the mind. God's sovereignty and God's reign is denied, and the Antichrist, the will of man reign. We worship it. We're will worshipers today in this day. Not us, but the general population of religion. And that's the man of sin. Now watch this here. Just let me show you something here.
Back here in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come till it come a falling away, a departure, an apostasy, a general apostasy. No turning back, that type of apostasy. No turning back, a general apostasy, a falling away, just falling away from the truth, the Word of God, the character of God, the salvation of God, the Christ of God. And that man of sin be revealed. He's there, but there's coming a day when Christ comes, he'll be revealed. This spirit will be revealed. Take over. It'll actually take over. Now let's read down here verse 5. Now, remember that word revealed. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you about these things? I told you. I told you back yonder some time ago about these things. And now you know what withhold it. Now, right in the margin of your Bible, restrains instead of withholds. What he's saying here is this. You know what's restraining the takeover. You know who is restraining this spirit of Antichrist. You know who is restraining Satan, holding him back, that he might be revealed in his time, in the time when God has determined to turn it over to him. The Holy Spirit. Now, Satan's always been around. Let me go back. In the garden. Was he in the garden? There wasn't but one man, one woman, but there was Satan. When Cain and Abel came with the sacrifice, two sons, there was Satan. He's there. Job. When the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, there he is. Spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist is opposed to Christ. See the word antichrist, opposed to Christ. He's always opposed Christ. He's always been present. Look at Israel in the wilderness. He was constantly using them to badger Moses. Look at Peter when the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, was standing here on this earth, talking to the disciples about going to the cross. Who's over here behind him? Don't do it. Don't do it. We don't need a cross. We don't need blood. We need morality. We need righteousness. We don't need you. Far be it from you, Lord, to go to the cross. Peter said, Christ said, get behind me, Satan. So he's hell. He's been restrained. And that's what this is saying. I told you, verse 5, when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know who restrains him. Who holds him, who keeps him in check until his time comes. And you might say until his time comes. The Lord's time, due time, fullness of time. But the only thing that keeps Satan off of this, turning this whole thing upside down, is the Holy Spirit of God. God is calling out his elect. God is calling out his church. Verse 7, look at this. The mystery of iniquity. That's the Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of lawlessness. You know, I know some of you say this, just like, I can't understand. I just can't understand what possesses people to do what they're doing. It's a mystery to me. It's the mystery of iniquity. It's a spirit of rebellion against authority. Rebellion against constituted authority. That's what riles most of our population. Don't tell me what to do. Don't fence me in. You remember that song? Rebellion. The mystery of iniquity. The mystery of lawlessness. It's already at work. Read it, verse. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. He always has worked. He's called a roaring lion who goes about seeking whom he may devour. He's called our adversary. He's called a spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. He's called subtle, crafty, a deceiver, a minister of righteousness, an angel of light, and a liar. But only, look at this word, only he, the Holy Spirit,
who now allows him, restrains him. Only the Holy Spirit, who now restrains him, will restrain him
until he be taken out of the way.
That's what's going on. You want me to tell you what's going to happen before the Lord comes?
The Holy Spirit's just going to turn him loose. That's what he says. He'll turn him loose. And it sure looks like in this country, he pretty well is having his way, isn't he? Satan's restrained, and he'll be restrained by God's Spirit until that day comes when the Spirit of God will be removed and the Spirit of the Antichrist will take over. And that's when the Lord's coming. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked one, that wicked spirit, that Antichrist, that be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth. That's the word of his mouth in Revelation 2:16. He'll consume him and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. It's like destroying a bug with a bright light. Destroy him. He'll be coming. He'll be coming. I just tell you, well, brother man, would you like to see another reformation? No, I'd like to see the Lord come. That's just honest. I'd just like to see him come on. It's all right. That's what he wants to do. But I don't see it going on. I see the slipping, sliding, falling, departure. I look to hear somewhere. I read and look and listen to hear somebody that I think saying something unique from God, unusual, true to the word, convicting, powerful, earth-shaking, a testimony from God, a message from the throne, a light in the darkness. And I don't hear it. I don't see that man or those men, and I don't hear it. God's still calling out his sheep. He still has teachers and pastor teachers and instructing, but what's happening? What's happening? Nothing. The wheel worshippers are pulling people down the aisle and getting them to accept Jesus and do all these things, change their lives and change the church membership, and just keeps in and out, in one door and out the other, you know. But a revival? A messenger sent from God? Well, let's read on here. He said they, in verse 9, even him, back in verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed, even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Yes? Yes, they come, the spirit of Antichrist, these preachers, religions in big business. The gospel's almost extant, as far as hearing it, but religion is prospering. It's the spirit of Antichrist. The Antichrist is, he turns people to evil ways, but it's to religious ways. It's, you see him, turn to Matthew 24. Turn to Matthew 24, man. It's, it's a religion you can have and not worship God, not know God. Matthew 24, let's read this, verse 4 and 5. Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5. Jesus said, well, verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us now, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming, the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said, take heed, no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. These things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation. You've read this. Now go to verse 24. There shall arise false Christ and false prophets and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Now, back to my text. Verse 9. This Antichrist, false preachers, even him, verse 9, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with what? Power, signs, and lying wonders. And these ministries today that have fallen away, apostasy, but they're still accompanied by crowds, deception, pretended miracles, marvels, success, lying wonders. And if one of God's elect is not taught of God, taught of the Spirit, he can get in trouble watching these things, listening to them. Because verse 10, they'll have a huge following with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They'll get a huge following. People who follow apostasy do so not because they haven't heard the truth, but because they have no love for the truth. Now think about this. He says, he didn't say because they never heard of Jesus, never heard of, read a Bible, never heard heaven and hell, never heard some truth, even God's sovereignty, even God's grace, even Christ's death. But they perish because they don't receive the love of the truth. Satan believes in God, but doesn't love him. The devil believes and trembles. He knows Christ died on the cross. He's there when he died. He tried to keep him from going to that cross. He knows he rose from the tomb. He knows he ascended to heaven. But he doesn't know why. Doesn't believe it. Doesn't love it. Doesn't rejoice in it. That's right. Doesn't see the glory. And so, this is what these folks do. They follow apostasy, not because they haven't heard, because they refuse to receive the truth and to love the truth and to bow to Christ. And verse 11, for this cause, God will send them strong delusions during this falling away, that they'll believe a lie. They love not the truth. They will not receive that gospel which glorifies God. They're not bowed to Christ, not give him all the glory, rest in his righteousness. And because of this, God will send them strong influences and delusions which will actually confirm their error, which will actually lead them to hold even stronger to their error, to their morality and self-righteousness and works and decisions. I know what I believe. There's none so blind as those who will not see. If that darkness which be in you, if the only light that's in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Those who take pleasure in their own righteousness will reap the fruits of it. Those who take pleasure in the righteousness of Christ and the blood of Christ are going to reap the fruits of that righteousness and blood. And those who persist to hold up before God, but we preached in your name, we prophesied in your name, we cast out devils in your name, we did wonderful works in your name. They persist. And they believe it. They've been deluded. God sends them strong. If a man won't bow to the truth, the truth will break him. That's right. If he won't be broken by the rock will break him. The rock will crush him. The rock, Christ Jesus, if we won't be broken on that rock, it'll break us. God will send them strong delusions. Verse 12, that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Pleasure. Pleasure. calling unrighteousness righteousness. That's just calling our duties and deeds and works and religion, calling that righteousness. That's taking pleasure in unrighteousness. But let me close with this right here. But verse 13, this is not true of you. Beloved, oh, beloved, I'm bound to give thanks to God for you. Bound to. And here's six reasons why the elect won't be deceived. I'll give them to you and won't come in. Number one, they're beloved of the Lord. They'll never be deceived because God loves them. Secondly, God chose them to salvation from the beginning. Thirdly, verse 14, he called them by the gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions you've been taught. Taught by whom? By the Holy Spirit. He taught you. You've been taught. You've been loved. You've been called. You've been chosen. You've been taught. And now the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, not some preacher, but he himself who loved us has given us an everlasting consolation and a good hope through grace. And he'll comfort your heart and he'll establish you in two things. In every good word and work. I read the Amplified today and I was shocked. I like that Amplified version pretty well. But they turned this around. In the Amplified, he'll establish you in every good work and word. The work doesn't come first. The Word comes first. He'll establish you in the Word, and that'll lead you to the right kind of work. That'll lead you to a work with which God is well pleased. Work of faith. Gotta have faith in the Word before you work. That's right. All right. I believe he's coming. Soon. I really do. Hope so. All right. Let's sing a song. Brother Mike, Solid Rock, 272.